I'll just start this morning with this. What is my goal, or what is it that I want you to understand today? We'll start with that and we'll unpack it from there. Somehow today, as a group of people, I want us to understand and get a glimpse, and many of us probably already understand this, but even in a deeper sense, that it is absolutely imperative for you and I to live in constant dialogue with Father God. It is absolutely imperative for you and I to live in constant dialogue with Father God. And why is that? It's for transformation and preparedness. Transformation, personal transformation, group transformation, and community transformation. And so that you and I are prepared for personal trials that are coming, and for world tribulation, and as we already said today, talked about today, mentioned for that last day. Preparedness for personal trial, world tribulation, and judgment, the last day. So we go through these different milestones in life, or come across these different milestones, and I just crossed one of them a couple of weeks ago. I turned 50 years old, and thank you for those of you who have sent cards and gifts. I've got to thank some of you personally. Some of you I did not get to do that. Some of the gifts I don't even know where it came from. I want to take this opportunity to thank the youth here. I know that some of the gifts came from you, and I don't know exactly who all, but I appreciate that very much. But as I crossed the 50-year mark, it's one of those milestones in life that you sit and you think and consider, at least I do, I am. Number one is that I have a lot more days behind me than I have ahead of me. That's pretty obvious. So, Lord, what is it that you want to do yet with my life? Is my Christian life, is my walk with you contagious? That's a question that is deep inside of me. In other words, would anybody else want what I have? Does anybody want what you have? And I'll just speak maybe to the older half of the congregation here. When people observe our walk with Jesus, do they want what we have? Do I even want what I have? It seems to me that as we mature in the Christian life and go on and on, our lives should become more and more contagious. That somehow, as you observe my walk with Jesus, you desire to also go there. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. And then we came through here at the beginning of the month. We had Youth Bible School, and our theme for Youth Bible School was divine attachment, our relationship with the Trinity. And we talked through that week about hearing from God and understanding the Lord and walking with Him and having conversation, dialogue with Him. And for some of us, it was a bit confusing. For some of us, we understood a little bit of it. For some of us, it made us desire to go much deeper into knowing Him, to really knowing the Father and having conversation with Him. And when I talk about conversation with the Father, you can put in Father God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But I might especially this morning, be referring a lot to the Father. So I want you to understand that. So I was observing what God was doing at Bible school. And the one evening, we were having worship time here, and we invited the young people that if there's something you want to give to the Lord, something you want to repent of, something you want to confess, while we are worshiping, write it down here on a piece of paper and put it up at the cross. It was just an exercise we were doing. And as I watched them continually going to the cross all evening long, or a lot of the evening, I was thinking about this, and I understood, and I was excited by this for sure, that they are hearing God's voice regarding conviction of sin. They are hearing the voice of God, and they are responding, and that's very exciting, hearing the voice of God and responding. It seems to me, brothers and sisters, that we have built a culture where hearing the voice of God has a lot to do with conviction or direction. Those two things, conviction or direction. So we seek God's voice when we need direction for something. We hear God's voice for conviction, and we repent, and those things are good. In some cultures, they've taken it a bit of a different direction, and hearing the voice of God is much more about prophesying over each other, or hearing a word from the Lord, a word of blessing, a word of prospering, and they do a lot of speaking those blessings, and hopefully we do it here as well, and I think we probably ought to learn to do it more. But hearing the voice of God is about you will prosper, you will be blessed, you are going to flourish, you are going to increase, and there's excitement that builds around hearing that for each other and for ourselves. And then sadly, in some places, maybe a little bit in every culture, hearing the voice of God is weaponized. It's weaponized. And God forbid that that should happen here, because there's incredible judgment reserved for those people. But the voice of God is weaponized. It goes a little bit like this sometimes. I heard from the Lord this and this and this. So you all had better listen. Everybody had better come into alignment. I heard from God that we are to do this. We are to do that. I am to marry this person. I am to move here. I am to take this job. And though we do hear the voice of God for those things, so many have used it as a weapon to manipulate people. And to say, I have heard from the Lord, you had better not question me, because if you do, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Used as a weapon, there is judgment reserved for that. And so we have different experiences. We observe different things. In all of it, though, and it came to my mind as I watched the youth, under conviction, the voice of God was speaking, and they were responding. It was very beautiful. But I wondered this, but this was the question that was in my heart. So we know the voice of God for direction. We know the voice of God for conviction. But how many of us are still orphans? How many of us are still living like orphans? We really don't know the love of the Heavenly Father. We really don't understand His love. We live like we don't really belong. Maybe it's living like our God is hardly enough. Living like his provision is scarce and his grace is minimal. Living like his love can hardly reach around. Living like our God just stands off at a distance and he has little to say. Living like his affirmation is sporadic and his frowns are common. Living like he has already said what he's going to say. He's already said what he's going to say. And if we don't get it, one day he'll just throw the book at us. And you see, if I'm living under that, it's because I believe that. Deep down in, that's what I believe about God. He is hardly enough. His grace is scarce. At Bible school, the one teacher brought up the thing of gas station Christianity. And that falls into this here, where you go and you fill up, and then you run until your tank is on empty, and then you frantically try and find the next place to fill up. And that gets very wearisome, and it does not bring transformation in our lives. So, living like our God is small, but I want to turn that around here this morning and just to walk with me through this. So, who is really our Father? The disciples asked Jesus, they said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Would you teach us how to communicate with God? And Jesus said, after this manner, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you know the prayer. Well, the other week in my personal time, I just took the two words, our Father. The first two words of the prayer. And I just sat on that for a while. In fact, I haven't moved on yet. Our Father. So what does that tell you about yourself? What does that tell you about God? What does it tell you? What does this reveal to us? And so, Lord, I ask you that you would, what is it, Lord, that you want to speak to us here today? I'm just going to write a few things under our Father, and you be thinking about it, and I'll give opportunity if some of you have something you want to add. But just a brief exercise, and then we're going to look at some other verses. Our Father, what does this tell you? Well, I'll just scribble some things real quick here. Tells us that we are a family. Could also, I won't write the whole thing, but also a community. It tells us that we are a family. We are a part of something. We belong. We are not. We are not orphans. It tells us that we have, and some of it's just very, very simple, but it's something, it affects our belief systems. We have a connection. We are not alone. Put a capital letters there. He is my dad. He is my father. We have a provider, protector, life giver. I have a couple more here, but what are some that you're thinking about? Our Father. What does it tell you? Yes, he is wise. What else is it telling you? We are dependent. Others, anything else? We won't tarry here long, but. There's security, yes. Anyone else? Yes. It's good. Over here? We have a purpose. Some of you might not even be able to see this anymore. Apologize. And there was one over here.
He gives boundaries.
He gives boundaries. Apologize my penmanship here. Praise God. Seen and known. Good. We have his DNA.
That means there's nothing wrong with us.
That's good. We'll stop there. There's more. Beings, we have his DNA, we have his genetics, as he puts his very life within us, right? And so we begin to talk like him, we begin to act like him, we begin to think like him, right? That's beautiful. Could write all that down there. You can put the screen down then when you want to, guys. Amazing. We have a place, I didn't write this up, but we have a place to go back to. So, isn't that incredible? When we do fall away, to think about the prodigal son. He knew he had a place to go back to. He had a father. He had a father where there was provision. He said, there's plenty in my father's house. Isn't that amazing? We have a point of reference, a place to go back to. Just our father. Our father. We could go on and on with that. You see, in order to have constant dialogue with Almighty God, our Father, we have to believe something about him. We have to believe the truth of who he is and who we are. So, many times when we face situations, difficult situations, we ask the Lord why. We love to ask him why. Why are you doing this? Why have you done this? Why did you let this happen? Why are we facing this situation? And so many times he's just silent, quiet. And our whys seemingly go unanswered. We get discouraged and say, well, I guess God is rejecting us. He really don't care about us. But what about if we would change the question? Not why, Lord, but Lord, what is it that you want me to know? What is it that you want to tell me about this situation? And what is it that you want me to do? Let's get those questions ingrained in our minds as we talk with the Lord. How does God speak? Well, there's many different ways, and we won't unpack all of this. You probably have different things you're thinking of how God speaks to you. Sometimes it is an audible voice. I think that's probably few times, but we know that for Saul on the way to Damascus, it was an audible voice. And some of you have probably heard audible voice from God. Sometimes it's through visions and dreams, like Paul had. The vision of the man from Macedonia said, come over and help us. And I know that there are those here who know what it is to hear from the Lord through visions and dreams. Sometimes it's through Scripture, through the Word of God, right? Many times it's through the Word of God. And then it's, you know, we have been given the mind of Christ. So when we sit with the Lord and we ask Him, what is it that you want me to know? The Word of God sometimes comes to us just through the free flow of thoughts. And when that happens, it's a great idea to write it down. To write it down. When you're sitting with the Lord, or maybe when you're driving, you're just talking with Him in that free flow of thought. That's a word from God. It can come through other people, through wisdom that He gives us. But I want us to understand this today. Number of things I want us to understand, but I want you to get this. We're not just looking for Bible verses. We're not just looking for words or thoughts or ideas, but we are looking for verses, for words, for thoughts that are accompanied with hope, that are accompanied with a quickening inside of us, that are accompanied with a surge, a yes, a smile, sometimes a tear. A rest that's projected deep within our spirits. In other words, sometimes we say, well, just quote Bible verses. Just say Bible. Read the Scriptures. And then we get frustrated because it just feels like words on a page, that it doesn't do anything. We're talking about a word that quickens. That's accompanied with a quickening in our spirit. I'll give you an example. I just got this in the mail yesterday. Very interesting, as I've been just asking God about these things and learning myself. But I got this letter from Ananias House. And you remember John from Syria that was here a few months ago, last fall. Some of you are pretty familiar with his work there in Syria. So I got this mailing, and it just talked about how that over in Syria right now, there's a lot going on, as you probably know. The persecution has really risen. There's a lot of just hard things happening in Syria, a lot of unrest, a lot of turmoil. Well, in those places, there are pastors. And Pastor Ibrahim is one of those pastors that was feeling just a few days ago, or probably by now a few weeks ago, was feeling very worn out and discouraged. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, I'm used to hearing from you in special ways. Please speak to me. And God answered. His eyes fell on 1 Chronicles 28:20. And at this point, folks, it's not just words on a page. I want you to understand this. This is words that are alive, that are quickened by the Spirit. The words were, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Beautiful word. And so his heart was encouraged. His heart was encouraged to go on. These life words, these life thoughts that flow through our minds must be in alignment with our Father's character, with His word that He has given us, and with His commands. They must be in alignment with that. With that. So I talked about the Word of God coming as direction or conviction. It comes in different forms, and we're used to certain things and maybe not so used to others. And getting back to knowing conviction, getting direction occasionally from the Lord. But what about my connection with the Father's love? You see, our Father also likes to send us love notes. He does. It's not just about do this and don't do that. But let's look at a few verses. Probably many verses come to your minds. Oh, there's so many. But God does want to speak to us. It's all through the Word. Just come to me and I'll give you a word. I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. Let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, we probably, most of us know it by memory. But the psalmist says, God, you are my refuge and strength. Your very present help in trouble. And we're not going to fear. And he goes down through who God is and the glory of God and how big he is and how mighty he is. And then right in the middle of it comes verse 10. The conversation switch. This is like a dialogue. It switches and God says, be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Most of the verses here today will be in the NLT. Lord, you are our refuge and strength. The nations are raging, but you give us peace. And then God says, be still. And you'll find this different places in the Psalms where the psalmist will be talking and suddenly the person changes and it's God talking. It's a dialogue. There are also many examples in the Word of God where God said, I wish you would have asked me, but you didn't. I had things to tell you. Let's look at one of those. This is just one of the many. Isaiah 30, verse 2. So can you imagine? Can you imagine? Children of Israel are delivered out of Egypt. Delivered from bondage. And years later, this is what Isaiah writes. This is what God says. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. The place that they were delivered from, they were going back to. Isn't that incredible? For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shade. If you would have consulted me, I would have had things to tell you. And we know different kings that comes up, different kings throughout Israel's history. I find it very fascinating that they went and did their own thing. And God said, if you would only ask me first, this would have really worked out a lot different. A lot different. Let's go to Matthew 3, verse 16. Very familiar verse. God loves to speak His love into our hearts. He did it with Jesus after His baptism. As Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. It's not just about conviction and direction. It's about love. He wants to speak to our hearts. A belonging. We are not orphans. We are children. I'm going to jump on to John 16, verse 13 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. The Spirit is speaking. Beautiful words. Let's go to illustration in Apostle Paul's life. This is incredible to me. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So Paul had this thorn in his flesh. You know the story. And he talked to the Lord 3 times about this thorn. Now, we have often said, I've often heard growing up, that God answers your prayer in 1 of 3 ways. A little bit like us as parents do it. He either says, you ask him for something, and he says, yeah, I think I'll give it to you this time. Yes. Or he says, no. That would not be good for you. Or he says, just wait a while. Yes, no, wait a while. That has often been my perspective of God answering prayers. Yes, no, wait a while. Look at this. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Isn't that beautiful? Did God say yes? Did God say no? Did God say wait a while? He just said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. What a beautiful word from the Lord. What a beautiful word from the Lord. And those are the words that God wants to give us in our times of trouble, in our life, in our daily life. What does God have to say to you and I? John 10, verse 27, just a couple of more verses yet. John 10, 27, Jesus said, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. My sheep know my voice. The Father and I are one. Brothers and sisters, there's so many voices. And they're not all bad voices. There's a lot of good voices. The cry of my heart is today, the thing that I'm praying for myself and for you all is that somehow we, by the grace of God, could press through all the voices, bad or good voices, but press through the voices of religion. Press through the voices. Press through the Anabaptist voices. Press through the Protestant voices. Press through the charismatic voices. Press through the Reformed voices. Press through the daily clamor. Press through the voices of expectation, the voices of deception, the voices of flattery, the voices of me, myself, and I, the voices of scarcity to the voice of our shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's where we got to go. Brothers and sisters, we have to go there. We have to go there. We get distracted all along the way. We've got to press through to the voice of Jesus. And I invite you to his voice. Not all the other voices are all bad, but his is the voice we follow. Amen? One more verse, Revelation 3:20. This is the Father's heart. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. It is imperative that you and I have a constant dialogue with Father God. It is imperative because it's only through our dialogue with Him that we will be transformed personally, as a group, and as a community. And it's only then, as we walk under the sound of His voice and with Him and in fellowship with Him, will we be prepared for the trial that's coming tomorrow, for the tribulation that's coming to the world, and for the last day, the judgment day. Now, some of us in our journeys, this thing of seeking God and seeking to hear the Father's voice and getting into the Word, His Word, all of those things, to some of us, maybe it sounds like work, hard work. But I'm here to tell you today, seeking God is not hard work. It is not religious duty. It is not religious performance. It is not a chore when you are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Seeking God is not a hard thing when I am poor in spirit. All right. So I asked the Lord yesterday, what is it that you want me to say? What is it that you want to say to this group of people? Remember, as we face difficult things and challenges and uncertainties, to not so much ask why, but ask Him what it is that He wants to tell us. What is it that He wants us to do? So I asked the Lord, what is it that you want to tell these people? And I just began to write, and I want to read this, pray this, speak this over us as a group here today. So I'm going to give just a little bit of an invitation here. I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but if there's a deep desire in your heart to know the voice of God, and maybe you already know, you already have that constant dialogue, and that's a beautiful thing, but you want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. I want to know Him deeper. I want to hear His voice and talk to Him. Not just for direction, not just for conviction, but just to talk about life and about His love for me, His love for the people in the world. And that His grace is indeed sufficient. If you desire that here today, I invite you just to stand to your feet if you're able. And if you're not able, just raise a hand. And look, if you're here today and you say, I'm not interested, it's just a bunch of religion, I don't really care, then you may stay seated and know that the Father still loves you. But I just invite you right now, if you want, to stand to your feet, and I want to speak this over you today. This is what the Lord says. I am. I am who I am. I am the God of plenty. I am full of power. I am full of strength, full of mercy. And I encourage you as I read this, speak this over you, is just can close your eyes, bow your heads, however you want, but just take in these words. Don't mind the people around you. I am the God of plenty, says the great I am. I am full of mercy. I am full of deliverance. I am full of love. I am full of grace. I am full of glory. I am full of wisdom, full of understanding, full of purpose, full of delight, full of compassion, full of provision, full of protection, and full of healing. In fact, I fill the heavens and I fill the earth with my presence. I am more than enough. I am more than enough for your past. I am more than enough for your pain. I am more than enough for your sickness, your anxieties. I am more than enough for your lack of purpose, your lack of vision. I am more than enough for your addictions, for your weakness, for your failures. I am more than enough for your losses. I am more than enough for your griefs. I am more than enough for your children. I am more than enough for the next generation. I am who I am. I am the God of plenty. I am more than enough for your story. I am more than enough to complete you. I am more than enough to transform you and to prepare you to come home. More than enough. I am more than enough for your story personally. I am more than enough for your story as a community, as a church. I am abundant. And yes, you will. You will have struggle. You will have difficulty. You will have pain here on earth, but I am more than enough for you. My grace is never exhausted. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your hands, and I will take them in mine. Open your eyes, and I will, and you will see my smile. Open your ears, and I will speak wisdom and love just for you. Open your heart, and I will come in and sit down with you, and we will connect heart to heart. Only in returning to me and resting in me, you will be saved. Almighty God, I thank you that you are more than enough. You are plenty. You are abundant. You are big. Your glory fills the heaven and the earth. And you are more than enough for my story. And I ask you, Lord, as the writer of Ephesians said, I ask you, Father, that you would fill this people, Lord, with all the fullness of God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are more than enough for the healing that we need, for the preconceived ideas. The things that have been done to us, all of that, you're more than enough for that. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I praise you. Lord, we started out with this truth that I believe is your heart's desire, that we would not just have a monologue in our prayers and in our connection with you throughout our day, throughout our work, wherever we're going. It wouldn't be just a monologue. But Lord, you desire a dialogue. And I know that you have things to tell us that will transform us. You have things to tell us that will transform our story. You have things to tell us, Lord, you love to speak to us that will prepare us for whatever it is that's ahead of us. You are more than enough for what's coming, Lord. You're more than enough for the future, and we praise you for that today and give you honor. In the name of our precious Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.